This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0 Run in Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
The WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979. I'm Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor alongside. We are in the downtown Aledo studios and not much
shaking. Somehow we're here.
Yeah, not much shaking. Well, because Kia shoveled the sidewalk for us to get in.
And she's leaving right now. Have a great day, Kia.
Yeah, and the great thing about Kia, we had a WRMJ Live with her. She has a throwback old school Westmer track and field sweatshirt on, so I love that. All right, so we're in today. I know the last couple of days, not much going on with local sports, but we still have a show for you today. I know coming up a bit later in the program, Chris Schwarz, kid that graduated from Moline High School, attended and graduated from Monmouth College, principal at United High School, I think coached at Monmouth Roseville, started bass fishing at the United High School. He'll join us today. So he's a new IHSA administrator. I think I read the press release, only the 37th assistant IHSA executive director. That's he's in a pretty select company, and really kind of a good interview coming up with him. I spoke with him yesterday. I know I'll talk with Brian Roush a bit later in the program. I think we're going to talk to Scott Verstrate, who's with Moline High School, involved in their shootout. And of course, we were looking forward to bringing you a couple of great matchups today from there, with Sherrard scheduled to play Beecher, and Rockridge was supposed to tangle with Chicago Leo. Those games wiped out. They are going to play a modified schedule. We'll get into that a bit later. I'm going to have Brian Roush on. We'll talk about subsectional seating, the IHSA apparently looking at that. And then Ty had a chance to talk with the Lincoln Trail Conference version of Caitlin Clark, yeah. I guess, earlier this week, and I listened to that game, and what a prolific score. So that's how we'll start today. Tell us about this Shelby Bowman kid that I think had 41, right?
She had 41 on Monday, and this is basically the only game we did this week, because most of the week kind of got snowed out or whatever. But yeah, Shelby Bowman's her name. She's a senior at West Central. She scored over 2,000 points, and she scored over 2,000 for her career. But I think the most impressive statistic about her, so her freshman year was the COVID year, and there was more of a modified schedule in Illinois. So she, her freshman season, played for Notre Dame and Burlington, and she scored over 2,000 points at West Central alone in 2.5 seasons. So she is, like, people talk about her, you know, that was my first time getting a chance to see her and hear a lot about her. And I was excited to watch her play, and she, to me, is even better than what people say. She can score from anywhere on the floor. I mean, she crosses the half-court line, she'll shoot it. Like, that's one thing we talk about with her in the interview, is the 2,000th point that she scored, it was on a shot at United, and her feet were on the logo at midcourt and just, you know, sunk a shot from, like, 30, 35 feet away. So, yeah, she is incredible. And if you have a chance to see her play, I mean, you should take the chance to, because I don't know, you know, boys player, girls player, whatever, there are a few players who play the way she does. And, I mean, she's electric when she has the ball. She can get to the rim. She can shoot it from anywhere. And then the other thing in that game on Monday, she is 11 of 11 from the free throw line. She shoots over 80% from the free throw line too. So, you know, if she gets a good look at the basket, no matter where it is, it normally goes in. So,
well, that's what I like about her, because this is an old guy speaking. Why can't they make free throws anymore? And yeah, she finishes from the line.
She's averaging this season now up over 29.5 points per game. And, I mean, she averages like 6 rebounds and a little over 3 assists. So it's like every basket they score, she is involved with. And the most impressive basket she got on Monday, I thought, was this possession. It was in the fourth quarter where they threw it in from the sideline, threw it into the backcourt for her. She caught it, was being guarded. I thought she was probably kind of being fouled over and over in the backcourt, got around the defender, and then basically weaved through all 5 defenders. I mean, she basically had all 5 players guarding her, and she got all the way to the rim and scored it with her left hand. I think it gave them a 4-point lead at the time. But, I mean, she's one of those rare kids where, like, when she has the ball, the defenders, I mean, all 5 of them are, their, like, face and their bodies are turned towards her no matter where she is. It's really impressive. And talking with their coach pregame, Tyler Clausen, he said basically, you know, teams – they'll double-team or triple-team her every game, and she'll still score 30 points. And she's, like I said, just if you have the chance to watch her play, very, very, very impressive. And you know, seems like a really good kid, too. She was a great interview. So they got a very, very good player over at West Central, and they're the only team that's undefeated in the Lincoln Trail right now. They have a win over Anawan, who's number 3 in the AP poll this week in 1A girls basketball.
And that's what I wanted to bring up. So kind of under the radar, and we'll get into more Lincoln Trail Conference stuff with the a tournament, how they've, well, it's not a tournament, no, in my opinion anymore, so we'll talk about that. But yeah, so they beat it. So that's how good West Central is. Anawan's ranked 3rd in the state, one of the favorites to get to state, and West Central has a nice win over them.
Beat them by 11.
So, and I think the other thing, and you'll hear it in the interview, what did she say about, you know, so she played at Burlington Notre Dame, and she continues to play basketball. She's a multi-sport athlete. You asked her about something about playing basketball, right?
Yeah.
And she said so her friends would play her. What was the kind
she
of...
She said one of the main reasons that she plays 3 sports, and you'll hear her say this in the interview, is basically she does it, you know, she likes playing volleyball and softball, but it's more so her friends will play basketball with her because she's, you know, she touches a little bit on kind of the issue with participation number in girls basketball. So you'll hear her talk a little bit about that too coming up.
So I was thinking about... there goes Eric Hoffman jogging by in downtown Aledo. That's live play-by-play on a Saturday morning, everyone. Of course, his daughter, a great sprinter at Mercer County back in the day. So I like talking about West Central, so can I just bring up a Jason Kirby reference?
I love talking about West Central, too. They're going to be really good in softball again this season, too.
Well, I was thinking about Jason Kirby. I always think about I'm not going to get into like when he's coaching at Girard and Rockridge and some of the great post games he had, but I remember the one story. He helped us broadcast the 8-man state title game this year, and he is really good, by the way, on the air, which is not surprising. But how he how the one year he broke down and told me how he prepares his like school lunches for the week, where he basically. He basically cooks, and this is primarily, I think, during football season when he's really busy, but he primarily cooks and prepares, like, his whole meal schedule on Sunday. He's prepared for the whole week. Seriously, did he ever tell you that story or not?
That's amazing.
But
though,
to listen to him tell that story is tremendous. And I saw Coach Kirby today. He had a reply on one of my on one of my threads on Facebook. He's so funny. He wants it to see 25 below zero this week so he can go ice fishing.
My favorite thing about him was the year that they won the state football title last year. He had to come into the station one day. It was after like school on his way home from West Central, and he stopped by, and I was getting ready to leave to go to some basketball game that night, and he stopped in to pick something up. I forgot what it was, or drop something off maybe. And he came in, and he's like, hey, here's a West Central Heat State Championship shirt. I'm like, and I didn't even ask for one. And he just brought it. I'm like, awesome, man. So, yeah, it was, Coach Kirby's awesome. I like when I get the chance to see him.
Well, it wasn't really free because we probably got in trouble that year because we gave him a Cardinal calendar.
Right.
Kirby, come on, man. Yeah. All right.
That was his pay. That was his $12 pay.
Explain to me how this Lincoln Trail Conference tournament. It's not a tournament because there's only right there doing it's like pod play, so only four teams can win the title.
If anyone listening hasn't heard about this, this is like what I would call a travesty of what they've done to this. So before I get into it, now a couple weeks ago we talked about the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament, and our big joke here always is how long it is. It's like, I don't know how you have a tournament that lasts like two full weeks, but they do. And this year, the girls' tournament was supposed to start, I believe, Wednesday. They were going to play Wednesday, Thursday, and then Saturday of this week. And then next week, I think games were like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday was the last day. So the tournament, how it works now is they're playing three dates. I have it in front of me so I get this right. They're going to play next Wednesday, the 17th, next Thursday, the 18th, and the final day of the tournament is Saturday, the 20th. A 12-team tournament, you have three dates and two gyms. How easy would it be to do a single elimination tournament? Don't you think that would be what they do?
I would think that would be the easiest, and that way you can truly crown a champion because the balance of the league this year is really good.
Top six teams, I think, all have a chance to win it. Well, safe to say that's not what they're doing. What they've done is they've taken the tournament is seeded 1 through 12, and for some reason I don't understand this either. It's not seeded based on like the conference standings. It's seeded on a coach's vote. So even though West Central beat Anawan and is the only team undefeated in the conference, they're seeded second somehow. I don't understand that. But, again, that's beside the point of what the complaint is here. So the tournament has been scheduled to look like this. The top four seeds are Anawan, West Central, Weathersfield, and Princeville. They are the only teams who have a chance to win this so-called tournament, okay? So the top four seeds, one plays four, two plays three on Wednesday, and then the winner of those two games play in the championship on Saturday. The seeds that are 5th through 8 all play each other. The two winners of those games will play for 5th place on Saturday. The two losers will play for 7th on Saturday. And then the teams that are seeded 9th through 12th play each other, 9 versus 12, 10 versus 11. And then the winners play for 9th, the losers play for the all-important 11th place game in the Lincoln Trail Conference Tournament. The team that really has been done wrong in this is A-Town, who there are the top five teams in the LTC. West Central is unbeaten. Again, somehow seeded second, not first. Anawan, who's the top seed, along with Weathersfield, Princeville, and A-Town, all have one loss in the conference. So A-Town is seeded 5th, tied for 2nd in the conference standings, has no chance to win the tournament, even though they have a freshman kid who is an absolutely electric player, and it's a shame that she's not going to get the chance to play. And I just don't know. I don't understand how this is the decision. You have 3 days. You have three dates you could play, 12 teams. You could do a single. You could even do a double elimination tournament probably, but definitely you play single elimination. You could do the first round of games, whatever. I think it would take 4 rounds, right? So you'd play, I think, the top four seeds in a single elimination 12-team bracket would get a bye. And then they would be able to play the first, you know, round games on Wednesday. They could play the second round games Thursday. And then you have the whole day Saturday. You could play the semifinals and the championship on the same day. Give everybody a chance. Let it be an actual tournament. And then the other thing that I don't get, too, is this is, from what I've heard, this is how they're doing it moving forward. Don't call it a tournament if only 4 out of 12 teams have the chance to win it. It's not a tournament. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard, and no one can give me an answer. I've asked everybody, why is this what you're doing? And no one answers me. No one gives me a legitimate answer. I'm like, who voted for this? I mean, what is going on?
Well, but you're mad because your car got stuck, so just
calm down. Yeah, well, I am, and I still got in here, by the way.
But this is the thing. When even before this situation, when I've talked to some of the LTC coaches, now, not all of them. I'm prefacing my remarks here. But most coaches I've talked to about this LTC tournament, you know, with the length of it, they don't like it.
Right. Well, it really blocks your schedule.
Yeah, so I would think the single elimination where you're playing for the true title, and I'm going to go full bore Homer here and say, well, what about Mercer County?
I agree.
They had West Central on the ropes this week, and they don't have a chance to
Mercer County was beating West Central like a minute and 45 seconds.
I like crowning a champion of, and no, I think you I do too, of the Lincoln Conference Tournament, but the true way of doing it where everybody has an opportunity to win it. This isn't a tournament.
No.
It's four teams in a pod having a chance to win.
And the other thing too, so just so I get this out of the way, I love the idea of a conference tournament. I think it's great, and it used to be bracketed. It was great when it was bracketed, but now I don't like the pool play. I can deal with that, I guess. But this, if this is the way they're going to do it moving forward, where, again, it's going to be a 12-team league, you know, Mercer County's leaving, Bureau Valley's in, I just don't see how you say, yes, I want to do this, and only four teams can win it. Because when you have years like this, where I think the top six teams in the league all could play for the championship and win it, two of them don't even get the chance. And like A-Town, again, they're the school that I would be like, what? I mean, they have one conference loss. Mm-hmm. And the seeding to do it in the middle, I wish they do it at the end of the season, because, and I get why that you can't or whatever, but you seed it, you play the conference games. They mean nothing in the seeding because clearly they seed it based on a vote. And then the other thing is it's just basically, what, half of the conference season is what the seeds are too. So it's like, again, A-Town, who I think probably will finish in the top four in the standings by the time the season's over, has no chance to play for the conference tournament championship. I've heard that this is the way they're going to do it moving forward. If anybody's listening, please reconsider, because I don't know anybody. Like, if I tell that to somebody, I've talked to a few people about it, and they're like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It just doesn't make any sense at all. So,
well, when you just read the schedule, I'm like, he's reading the book War and Peace. When he's explaining the thing, I'm like, what in the world is going on? And that's, to me, the bracketed would be the best. Now this week for the girls, right, is just because of the weather. That's how they changed it.
Yes, it was so scheduled to be normal this
so
year.
The boys is still going to be, well, normal, but not
unless
a bracketed
weather.
Yeah, but not a bracketed tournament. Basically.
Normal, I use in heavy quotation marks.
But normal in the sense with the boys, there's basically everybody has the opportunity to win the tournament.
I just think, again, that a bracketed tournament is, one, for the fan, the most simple thing to follow.
Exactly.
Because we've talked about this many times, too, with, like, it's hard to find results of anything. Like, we get them and post them, but, like, even for me, it's hard to track down scores sometimes. And especially, like that last year, that tournament was kind of a nightmare trying to find scores. And then you have to know every score to know who plays who in the round of when they start breaking out of pool play. So, to me, if you want people to, like, come to the games or follow it or know what's going on, do a bracketed tournament. It's easy to follow. You win, you play here. You could even do double elimination, whatever, right? If you lose, you play here. Win, you play here. I don't understand this at all, and I never will, and no one has given me an explanation as to how this is better. And I get that they're up against it with the schedule, and that's out of their control, but you could do a single elimination bracketed tournament in over 3 days with 12 teams, easily. You have two gyms.
Oh, and single elimination.
Yeah.
You could do it in 2 days.
Right. I don't understand.
Now, you said, too, with the LTC, though, that they're going to do it like this modified.
Yes, that's supposedly, from what I've been
told. And then they're going to do it at the end of the year?
I believe so,
For each girls and boys?
And, like, to me, if you do it at the end of the year, that makes it even more of a reason to do it bracketed. You know, I mean, you're getting ready for the postseason. Who wants to play for 11th place or 7th place?
Well, and I guess I've never understood, too, where they do it for boys and girls basketball, but they're not having a conference tournament for volleyball.
Yeah, I'd love that if they did it for volleyball, yeah.
Or baseball or softball. How long would it take for a baseball LTC?
I don't know if I'm on board with a baseball conference tournament. That would be a long, 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 long day.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So, again, I tell a lot of people, these are opinions here, so calm down. You can support the pod version if you want. That's cool.
I would like to hear someone and who I'm does, all though, because I haven't yet.
And we're all about the kids playing. I'm cool with that. But I would rather, you know, and like Ty said, they're up against it with the weather. I get that. But again, it's not a tournament when only four teams of the 12 can win it.
Right.
I mean, it's just not. That's not, you know, and like I said, I'm speaking at on behalf of Mercer County because I live in the school district. They don't get a chance to win. Right. And they had West Central on the ropes this week.
Right.
And A-Town's good, too. I saw them play earlier in the year. They could challenge for the title.
Oh, A-Town's very good. And they've really, like, turned it on. They've played very well the past, like, 3 or 4
weeks.
And I like the
LTC tournament trophy that you get.
It's great.
You win it, man.
I love everything about the tournament except the way that it's formatted is great. The way it's formatted, I think, leaves a bit to be desired. But I can deal with how they normally do it. I would prefer to be bracketed, but this, like I said, is just makes absolutely no sense to me. And I haven't heard one person who I've talked to in favor of this.
Well, that's the thing.
So I want to hear someone who was in favor of this. I would like to hear why, or like what the reasoning is, like why this is what we're gonna do. I just feel bad for A-Town and Mercer County.
Yeah. So it was just funny when you were reading like the breakdown. It's like, wait, I lost the fine print. I lost you.
Well,
exactly.
The average fan, if you want people to be interested in high school sports or in your conference tournament, and you make it very convoluted and hard to follow, you're going to lose people, you know? So if it's bracketed, it's simple, it crowns a true champion, and it just makes the most sense. And people say, well, we want to get, you know, X amount of games in. You play all those teams already anyway, and if you lose, too bad you lost. Win then, and you keep playing. I mean,
well, and I that's, you know, in my conversations, the most of the issue is what you've talked about, the length of it. And I just, in my circles, the people I've talked to about it, that's what they don't like about it, because it takes forever to get done. And then
it's 10 days.
Yeah, and then when you factor in weather this time of the year, it's always, you're going to be up against that type of stuff. All right, anything else about the LTC tournament, or is that it?
I've got nothing else to say. I've been bottling this up, and I've been waiting to vent on this, so I'm glad I could do it.
All right, so we were scheduled to bring a couple of, I think, key matchups today, but Sherrard's going to still play Beecher Monday, is that right?
Correct. So the updated schedule for the QC Custom T-shirt
is Beecher listening today
at Wharton Fieldhouse is they will play only on Monday now, so the game's today completely wiped out. At noon, Alleman will play the Quad Cities Christian School. Didn't they have like a ton of fans there last year?
Yeah, it was like the most boisterous crowd.
Yeah, that's great.
Christian School against Alleman.
That game plays at noon. That's a big rivalry game. 1:30 is an interesting game. Macomb plays Riverdale. I really think the last four games of the day all should be pretty fun. Beecher and Sherrard play at 3. Beecher undefeated, 19-0 on the season now. Rock Ridge now, instead of playing Leo, will play Batavia at 4:30 on
what's their
Monday.
Are they 3A or 4A?
They're probably 4A in boys basketball, I think. And then the nightcap, which will be kind of cool. So Moline and UT, their Big Six conference game was postponed Friday, so they are going to play the makeup date. So it's a Western Big Six game, the nightcap, Moline versus UT at 6. So that should be there should be a pretty good crowd for that game, I'd imagine. And then the other games, it should be a pretty fun day of basketball at Wharton Fieldhouse. Very cool that Rock Ridge and Sherrard are a part of that. And also on Sherrard, now it hasn't been confirmed yet, so I don't want to say exactly what potentially could happen. But they lost a game, obviously, with them not being able to play Leo now. And from what I've heard, there's a potential for them to pick up a pretty marquee game coming up, which could be really, really cool. I hope it happens. It sounds like it likely will. So we'll, I guess, let you know when we hear. But very excited for the potential of what Sherrard could have coming up. Like I said, it's a game that should be pretty fun. So,
all right. So what's going on with – so when were they played games Thursday night, right? Mercer County moved up their game.
Yeah, they beat Knoxville, and Rock Ridge beat Morrison on Thursday. And those are the only boys' games, basically.
Yeah. So, and Rock Ridge had to rally from a three-point halftime deficit against Morrison. And I'm glad, you know, Mercer County – you know, had to battle it out to win Saturday over Sterling Newman, which was a nice win, I thought, at Rock Falls. And then, you know, they need to take care of business in the LTC.
Yeah, they should.
That's the type of outcome that should have been Thursday. I was glad to see that. They should roll teams like that.
No, they should. I mean, they shouldn't lose another game the rest of the regular season, I don't think. I mean, and I know that's, like, kind of crazy to say, but I gave everybody bulletin board material, I'm sure. But, like, I know Princeville's good, and I know Annamon's off to a good start, but I think Mercer County's a very good team, and I think that they're a favorite to win the conference again. And just they need to take care of business the rest of the regular season, I think.
Yeah, so when did they play Annamon? Because I haven't seen
Annamon. I think play Annamon late in the season, and then Princeville, who is off to a very good start too. I feel bad for Princeville because the Lincoln Trail Tournament is in Mercer, is hosted by Mercer County this week or this season, so they have to come to Aledo 4 times over the span of 10 days, and then their first game out of the tournament is also in Aledo. So like 5 times in like less than 2 weeks, they're going to make that trip from Princeville to Aledo. So that'll be tough for those kids, but that's kind of the marquee game, I think, in the LTC this year is Mercer County and Princeville.
When do they play?
Early February, I think.
Well, so that game's in Aledo. What about, where was Mercer County play Annawan?
They're at Annawan.
I'm telling you, that's not. But you said Eagles ain't going to lose.
No, I didn't say they won't. I said they shouldn't. I think they're a favorite in every game the rest of the season.
All right. So then what's going on next week? I didn't even see early next week.
Well, we have the doubleheader from the Moline shootout Monday. Tuesday is, I think, Mercer County is at home against Weathersfield and Boys. We'll have Lincoln Trail Conference basketball Tuesday. And then Friday is – is this Friday the 19th?
Yes.
That is Sherrard at Monmouth Roseville and Boys, which will be a good game. And then there's something else this week, too, but I don't have the schedule in front of me, so I can't remember.
And then I know next weekend I'll either get Zach Nelson on or Bob Mitten or one of those people is the Bob Mitten invite, and I see Zach Nelson, they're leading the track in wrestling.
They've had a really good year. Them and Rock Ridge are both, I think, having really strong years in wrestling. So, yeah, but Orion, they're – Zach told me when he did a couple Orion football games with me in the fall that he thought they could have the possibility to be really good this year. So, good to see they're off to a nice start.
And the kid who won the title at the pit from
Maddox Anderson.
Huge win, yep. Winning over there with 35 teams doing that.
I think he, if I remember Zach's email, I think he beat the top ranked kid in the state in the weight class in the championship. Anderson.
Oh,
did.
Wow!
Yeah,
way to go, Zach Nelson
and Maddox Anderson.
All right. So what else is going on? Anything else? From high school sports
nice
around here.
Nice win for the Illini Thursday night.
Yeah, they beat Michigan State. And we were talking before coming on the air then. Iowa just rolled Nebraska last night after Nebraska rolled Purdue? What's that all about?
I don't know. Owen Freeman, though, what a year he's had. He might be the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. I think he's won the Freshman of the Week award like five or six times. Moline Maroon and Brock Harding.
Oh, yep. Awesome watching them. All right, so... Great story with Chris Schwarz coming up. We'll hear from him. Again, he's the principal at United High School. And, man, select company getting a job as the IHSA assistant executive director. Now, it's undetermined what sports he's going to oversee. Now, he'll replace the retiring Kurt Gibson. And it's funny. And if this happens, I'm taking full 100% credit for it. So we're talking about Chris Schwarz, and I said, well, I see you're a bass fishing coach. And he said, yeah, and the first thing he said was something about New Boston getting...
Oh, all right.
potentially an IHSA bass fishing site. And I've been talking about that for 10 years, and the last time I ran into Kurt Gibson, I forget where I was at, and he goes, yeah, before I retire, I'm going to get that bass fishing thing up there in New Boston. So Chris Schwarz, the first thing he says in his interview... He says something about New Boston and bass fishing. So, you people that love the outdoors, you're welcome. That's from me. So, again, we'll talk to him about that. But he's big into all activities, so he's got a great kind of resume with the different things he's been involved in. And I like the fact, you know, grew up in a metro area, graduated from Moline High School, and then has spent a lot of time in his career with small little schools. So he has a great perspective on both in considering all sides of all these issues. So that's coming up. And Ty interviewed Shelby Bowman, a great conversation with her. And I think she'll talk about, she met Caitlin Clark a couple times too, right?
Yes.
Kind of plays like her and scores like her. So we'll have that coming up. And hopefully I'm going to talk to Scotty V, Scotty Verstrait, and kind of a side story. He was on one of the greatest broadcasts here ever at WRMJ. He was the color commentator for the Sherrard Alleman game back in 2000. I don't know if everybody knew that. So he's part of the legacy of this station. And also, he is a referee as well. So again, an update on what's going on in downtown Aledo right now. Absolutely nothing other than local radio.
Got my car unstuck and got in here today.
All right, I hope our phone lines are burning up from all the LTC schools that are mad at Ty.
Well, are they mad? I think everyone is on board with me.
Yeah.
Your
grandma and mom will text you and say, you're right, Ty.
I know the people in Abingdon will tell me I'm right, too.
Yeah, one of my memories came up on my Facebook today was me interviewing. What's the name of the boys' coach?
Corey Link.
Oh, yeah.
He's really great.
It was an interview
like
during last year game was played in Aledo. Yeah, that's what I love about this job, and you can relate to it too, kind of the relationships you make. Right. I mean, it's really cool. Like when you think about like it, especially if you run into people outside of the spectrum of broadcasting, you say, "Oh, that's well, okay." Good.
It was funny at the Cliff Orkins Memorial Classic in Erie. There were three guys in a row that walked right up to me, and it was Alex Kelly, who is the Riverdale boys basketball coach, and then Dustin Browning, who coaches Stark County. And then after him, Alex Kopions, who coaches Anon County. I'm like, it's like a revolving door. Who's next?
Oh, and that's so...
I love Coach Browning and Coach Kopions are both great. And that's the one thing, like, it'll be sad about Mercer County leaving the Lincoln Trails. I love a lot of those dudes. And, like, I think Coach Kopions does such a great job at Anawan. And Stark County's, you know, normally pretty solid in boys basketball, too. And I just, you know, the coaches who've been around, like some of those LTC coaches, I don't know, because it's kind of like some of them are kind of like revolving, you know, they're having trouble getting, you know, coaches to stay at some of those schools. But, you know, and I think like at West Central, Doug Dennison is there and he's awesome.
And then the football side, I don't like anybody better than Coach Nord. I mean,
right.
He's one of the top
guys. But like, those, and, you know, obviously Coach Parsons was there for such a long time at Weathersfield. I'm, you know, leaving some out. I love Coach Link at A-Town.
Great.
Everyone's great.
And, of course, Coach CD.
That's implied.
And then
right?
the rest of his staff.
All of his staff. That's the one thing that I'll miss because we won't really get to see any of those Lincoln Trail schools anymore. I'm definitely in favor of Mercer County moving to the track, but it will be kind of sad not seeing those guys anymore, or less, obviously, now. So.
Well, and then, so it's funny, so... The one day I was covering the Western Macomb Health of Day tournament, and there's the break from the semifinals to the finals, right? So it's like an 8-hour break.
Right.
And I had to do some stuff for my other job between, and then I left a couple hours after the game I broadcast, and I went to the downtown restaurant in Macomb. I think it's called Chicks on the Square or something like that. And I walk in there, Coach Harris is sitting with his friend. And so I said, well, he goes, sit down here. And so the only way you get to know people is when I tell people is you break bread with them. So the one cool story that Jordan Harris told me, he grew up in the St. Louis area.
Yep.
And he was coached by Jason Tatum? Who's the kid from St. Louis?
Yeah.
He's really good. He was coached by his dad.
Yeah.
And so we got to talking about that. And then he learns about, you know, my family. I learn about his family and kind of the 7 degrees of separation about, you know, how we basically, when you break it down, you know a lot of the common people. So I think it's cool when you know, you have those experiences.
Yeah, and it's been really cool to get to know Coach Harris. He's awesome. I'm really glad that we've been able to, you know, build like a relationship with him. And, you know, we were sad when Coach Say left and Coach Whiteman at Rock Ridge. But, yeah, Coach Harris is great. I love when I get a chance to talk to him. He's awesome. He's really fun to talk to. And the thing about him that I really like is, like, I think gives off such like a positive energy.
Well, and he promotes the game.
And when you talk about to him, he's only 28, you know, he's young, and he's all about the kids. He works with the Quad City Shockers AAU program. He, you know, trains kids on the side too, and he's all about making the game better locally. He doesn't care, you know, where you go, boy, girl, whatever. And the thing that I like about him is when you talk to him, he knows like every kid who plays in the area.
Yeah.
I know. He's like, yeah, this kid, and then this kid, and he was talking.
And RJ Coffey's daughter at Fulton.
He was talking about some girls players one time too, and I'm like, yeah, you must really be connected then, man, if you're talking to me about whoever. So, yeah, he's awesome.
Well, and the most respect I gained for him, I told him that first time I broadcast their games, because I talked to him when he first got hired, right, and then I didn't do a game till later in the season. And I said, the most respect for you I gained. And he's like, look at me. He's like, oh, great. What's this guy going to say?
Yeah, right.
I said, when you coach the 8th grade Rockets,
yeah, that was awesome.
Basketball yeah. against the 8th grade Eagles. And
he gave the Eagles a scare that
well,
night.
And he's coaching kids.
Yep.
You know, he's not more so trying to win a game. He's coaching the game of basketball to kids.
Yep.
And that's what I like seeing. But anyway.
And we'll get to see Coach Say and Coach Whiteman on Monday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm all in for the Panthers that day. Yeah. Too bad, Sean Taylor.
We like Coach Taylor, too, though.
Yeah, and he likes W. Arm J.
By the way, always
ask him about the Olympic Conference. He'll tell you, man.
He said, before we go to break, he said that the first thing he said when I interviewed him before the Rockridge-Moline game this year is he said, the first thing out of his mouth was he said, and this is as Owen Freeman walked by and called him the best coach in the state. He said the Macomb, or he said the Olympic Conference was the best Class A conference state of Illinois.
He's right.
And that's
man.
The guy who's won two state titles.
Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. All right. We got a lot coming up still on the WDOMJ Sportsline. We had a 36-minute open, and everybody behind the scenes at WDOMJ is going absolutely bananas saying, hurry up the show.
Sorry.
All right. More coming up on WDOMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz. Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're talking with a 2,000-point scorer. She plays for the West Central Heat. Her name is Shelby Bowman. So, Shelby, we start with you. Congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment. So talk to me a little bit about kind of, you know, what it meant to you when you scored that 2,000th point last month. Have you had much time to kind of reflect on the feat that you were able to achieve?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing when I hit the shot, just seeing all the crowd and everybody stand up and cheering for me. It was pretty awesome to see that.
So I think I saw the play you scored your 2,000 point. It was a shot from basically your feet were on the logo at United, right? And that's kind of what people say when they say, if you watch this kid play, she walks across the half court line and she'll shoot it if you're not guarding her. So can you talk to us a little bit about kind of what your game is like and what you like to do offensively and kind of how, when you're at your best, what's going right for you?
When I'm at my best, my shots are usually falling, my deep shots. That's probably one of my favorite shots, even though it's not the highest percentage shot, but it's still really fun to shoot, especially when it's falling for me. But just being able to score at all three levels, just with the way I am being guarded, makes it so much harder for people to guard me.
So to score 2,000 points, I mean, is crazy. It's like almost hard to conceive of it being possible. This season you're averaging, you know, just under 29 points per game. So what do you kind of point to that's allowed you to become such a great player and such an elite-level scorer? What are some of the things that you think have been the keys to get you to this level of play?
Obviously, a lot of extra work other than just practices and just putting up shots as much as I can. And having my coaches giving me the freedom to be able to shoot the ball like I do. And my teammates just them allowing me to do what I do has helped a lot.
So looking at kind of your career, now you grew up a kid that went through the West Central School District. Your freshman year, you played for Notre Dame and Burlington, then sophomore through senior season back at West Central. I think you've scored, is it right, 2,000 points at West Central as it is, right? So that's basically 2.5 seasons you've done it in. Can you tell us how you ended up going to Notre Dame for a year and then what led you back to West Central?
So I moved to Notre Dame my freshman year because of COVID, and we knew it was going to be a lot more open. We didn't know that it was going to be a guaranteed season, but we knew that it was going to be a higher chance that we would play over there. And so I moved there my freshman year, and I played quite a bit. I was the sixth man off the bench. But at the end of the school year, I just ended up missing my friends, and I wanted to come back and spend the last 3 years with my friends.
So you're a three-sport athlete, and we talk about, you know, girls basketball. It's kind of a national trend where the numbers are decreasing. You see some programs aren't able to have, like, JV rosters, especially, you know, locally. There's a few schools that are struggling with that. So for you, you know, as such an elite level basketball player, I know you've had a great volleyball career, and this softball program at West Central has really taken a step forward too. For you, you know, why do you still play three sports?
I do it for my teammates so that they will play basketball, basically, because it's hard to get a lot of numbers, like you said. So just being as involved as I can, and so that other people will get back to basketball.
But for a kid like you, I'm interested. Do you see a specific reason or hear specific reasons why, you know, girls basketball is struggling to get kids to play? Is there anything specifically that you can kind of point to and say, maybe this is why we're struggling with numbers in this specific sport?
Probably the running. Nobody wants to run that much. And there's a lot of travel sports in the winter that people are focusing on more than basketball.
And two, when you look at your season now, when you look kind of down the line for you and this West Central group, I think you're off to a great start. The only team right now, as we're talking to you, that's undefeated in the conference. You got a big win over Anawan earlier this year. You spoke about your teammates a little bit earlier, and obviously for you, you know, when you look at this team, you're the kid who jumps off the page with the scoring. But tell us a little bit about the kids you play with and what the ceiling you think for this team can be if you put it all together.
I've played with Addie, Harley, and Sam my whole life, so we know what each other can do, and they've been stepping up lately, and it just makes it so much harder for teams to guard us because they don't know who to guard when everybody else is scoring. And so as long as we continue to do that, we'll be a pretty tough team to beat.
All right, and I want to kind of wrap up by talking to you. Now, you mentioned to me before we started, you've had a chance to meet Caitlin Clark a couple of times. I think I've seen a picture of you with her in the tunnel after a game at Iowa. So what was that experience like? You know, I know that's a women's basketball player that basically everybody looks up to, and I think you can kind of see a little bit of her game in you with the way you shoot the ball. So what was that like kind of getting to talk to her a little bit?
It was amazing. It was really cool, especially after her game that she stopped and talked to us. It was pretty amazing.
All right, that is West Central Heat senior Shelby Bowman. She scored over 2,000 points before we end the interview. Do you know exactly how many points you have coming into this game with Mercer County on Monday?
I'm not sure. It's around like 2,200-ish.
All right, sounds good. See, when you score that much, you don't know how many exactly. So, all right, Shelby, thanks a lot for talking with us. Congratulations on a great career. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline. Keep fit for less with Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run. A true runner could always find a clear path to run, and now you can run with the comfort and style of Hey Dude Shoes. Now buy one, get one at 25% off from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude Shoes are known for their breathable design that keeps your feet dry all day. Make Hey Dude part of your fitness routine and save by visiting 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Some exciting news involving the Illinois High School Association joining the staff as an assistant executive director. Current United High School principal Chris Schwarz, a kid that grew up in the Quad Cities, a graduate of Moline High School, a graduate also of Monmouth College. Congratulations, Chris. Tell us a little bit about this great opportunity.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jim, and it's kind of surreal to hear myself be announced like that. I think that's the first time I've kind of been able to hear it like that, and it's just been so great to finally get this out in the open. It's been a tremendous experience. It's been a humbling experience just going through the interview process. To be honest, this is a position where I always looked at the individuals that served on the IHSA as an administrator, and even, you know, the board of directors and the principals and ADs around the state. You kind of idolize those individuals. And so this has always been a job and a position that I really thought would play to my strengths maybe someday, and just the opportunity to work with kids across the state in athletics and activities. What more could you ask for? And so when this position came open, I actually had a meeting with Mr. Gibson, because we were talking about possibly trying to get our bass fishing sectional moved to New Boston. And he drove and met me in New Boston just to tour the ramp, and that really stuck with me. And a week later is when his retirement was announced, and just all the little things that fell into place for this to happen. It really was just the will for my life and for my family's life, and we're just very, very grateful to the creative team down there at the IHSA.
Well, it's great that you mentioned New Boston in our listening audience in Mercer County, and I know I've talked to Kurt Gibson many a times about getting a bass fishing location in the Mercer County area, and I know I'll talk to the current IHSA staff as we go along here. So it's interesting, you know, most people, when we think about the IHSA, right, they think, you know, all right, they oversee the state basketball tournament, and they oversee the high school football playoffs. But, and I was reading your basically kind of the press release the IHSA put out, and I always tell people it's not athletics, it's athletics and activities. So many things fall under the umbrella within the IHSA, and when I read some of the things you've done in your career already, I'm like, well, that's a perfect segue for him then, because it's more than athletics. He's doing athletics and activities. Do you like kind of that fit and being a part of that?
Absolutely. And, you know, through the interview process and even just, you know, trying to envision myself within this position, program development has always been a passion of mine. And working as a junior high and high school principal, there's so many things that go into those positions where you're not just thinking about athletics, but like you mentioned, it's activities. It's, you know, what can we do that's good for kids, whether it's on the academic side or the extracurricular side. I think academics and extracurriculars go hand in hand. So it was just kind of a natural fit in terms of what this position would entail. But I think that's the exciting part. No matter what my responsibilities are, I'm going to attack it with the mindset of, you know, possibly trying to create or expand upon the things that the IHSA is already doing just to improve, you know, things that we're offering for kids. But I'm excited to work with state administrators, coaches, officials, again, whatever my capacity and responsibilities are. That collaborative piece is something I'm really looking forward to, and getting feedback. And again, it's all about how can we improve, you know, what we are doing, or what can we do new, which the IHSA has done over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years in terms of implementing programs. But that's what it's all about, program development, improving the things that we're doing, and making it better for our kids.
How much did the playing days for you then have an impact on this? I saw Moline, baseball player, right? A graduate of Moline High School. Is it something you knew? You know, maybe you wanted to be a professional baseball player, like we all do, you know, when you're playing in high school. But did you? I mean, is this something you always kind of had an interest in, even back in your playing days as a student athlete?
Yeah, I think especially at Moline, just being part of football and baseball programs, you know, that really fostered a love, especially for fitness, you know, with football workouts and getting in the weight room at a young age with Coach Kevin Gorgel. That's something that I carry as a passion of mine now, and it's directly related to that, just being exposed to the weight room at a young age and working with some of the upperclassmen as well, that took the time to, you know, show proper technique and things. That's just one small example of just something that stuck with me throughout the rest of my life. But I've had so many great coaches between those two programs that that really fostered the love for coaching. You know, just wanting to sort of model myself after some of the coaches that I was able to have. On top of the fact that, you know, great administrators. Robert Beam is someone that stands out to me. That was my junior high science teacher, and he kind of, got the bug for me to want to teach. But, watching his career, and he elevated to junior high principal at Wilson Middle School in Moline. Again, that's just another small example of just how those people in my life growing up had such a profound impact on the path that I decided to choose. But I was extremely fortunate to have the experience I did in Moline, especially with those two programs, and just going through school K-12, and just, the people along the way that, really made education and coaching and leadership just such a desirable place to be.
So then professionally, teacher, coach, administrator, and I think you need the blending of all of those to really have kind of the right lens to view the position of being an administrator with the IHSA. Do you think those ingredients are pretty important then with the new position?
Exactly. I think you couldn't have said it better. When I tried to sell myself to the admin team down there, that's really what I drew back to, is just having fortunate enough to have those experiences. A lot of that is just being at the right place at the right time. And throughout my career, I've been fortunate to just have people that have been willing to, one, take a chance on me, but also let me lead, let me, develop programs, let me learn things, on my own. And I've just been extremely fortunate to just have people in my life at the right place at the right time to allow me to have that experience. Because a lot of that is luck, for better terminology. Luck has a lot to do with it, and just being in the right place. So, very fortunate for the people that have come into my life to give me the chances that I've been able to have.
And I guess I didn't realize this, and I think this next couple of sentences, to me stresses kind of the opportunity that you've been presented here. So it says, your exact responsibilities will be determined closer to your start date at the IHSA, which is slated for early July. The next sentence, right? Let's talk about the storied history of the Illinois High School Association and interscholastic athletics in the state. He will become the 37th individual in the IHSA's history to hold the title of assistant executive director on the association's administrative staff. So, Chris Schwarz, that's some pretty select company, man. Only 37 in the history of this organization. What do you think about that?
Who am I? That's the humbling experience part of this, and just the right place at the right time. But, yeah, to be number 37, I believe the IHSA was founded in 1900. I think Moline was one of the charter schools, if I'm not mistaken. So there's just – there's so many factors and just so many things that go into this where it's really overwhelming to think about. It's overwhelming to think about, my current position, and leaving the United School District is hard in itself, but just the outpouring of support and just the monumental piece to this of joining the IHSA administrative team in the history. Like I said, it's been very overwhelming last 48 hours.
All right. So we talk about kind of your coaching background. So baseball coach, I see, at the high school level, I think at Monmouth Roseville, right? And then I saw bass fishing, right? You established that at United. So I've been big into covering the IHSA bass fishing state series over the years. So that's, you were telling me off the air, hey, I love bass fishing. So perfect for me to be the coach. So what about kind of comparing and contrasting, you have the traditional sport of baseball you coached, and now the not-so-traditional bass fishing sport. And I know when I was covering the bass fishing beat when they originally introduced this as a state series, there was a lot of tongue-in-cheek, oh, really, you can win a state championship in bass fishing, come on. And then all of a sudden, first year they had all these teams – step up and say, hey, we want to participate in this thing. And I think even the IHSA at the time, I remember when I was speaking to Dave Ganaway, who's since retired, he was even surprised. And I know when I've talked to Kurt Gibson, who oversees that now, he's like, this, we got this right.
there's bass fishing has really been embraced by this state, and I know it's been an example for many other state associations too. So that's something.
Yes, absolutely.
So I guess compare and contrast baseball and bass fishing, but that's what the IHSA is all about. Both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, and that's kind of a microcosm of my coaching career. You know, baseball is something that, again, being at the right place at the right time. You know, my wife got a Spanish teaching job at Monmouth Roseville High School after we graduated from Monmouth College, and happened to be in the office at the same time Chuck Grant was in there, and he was the athletic director at the time, and they were looking for a baseball coach because Chuck was stepping down. And he's like, hey, you don't happen to be a baseball guy, do you? And again, just right place at the right time, having the college experience. Was probably not ready to be a head varsity baseball coach, but again, it was a great experience, and Chuck took a chance on me. So that was really, you know, early on, being able to share just some knowledge and some passion, you know, for the sport. I had some coaching experience at Allaman High School under Scott Harding and Jerry Burkhead, who's a dear friend of mine. And like I said, just right place at the right time. And then, you know, later on within my administrative career, bass fishing is just another opportunity to share a passion of mine. And I say I'm completely jealous that, you know, bass fishing was developed once I was out of high school. I think that would have caused a conflict with baseball possibly being at the same time in the spring. But it's amazing the model that Illinois and the IHSA have followed with bass fishing, because like you said, I think they were the first state to implement a high school state tournament of that magnitude. And the sport has boomed. I mean, just within the last 10 to 15 years, I mean, it is a huge industry. COVID certainly did help that, you know, it people had to kind of figure out different things to do and not necessarily congregate inside. And so I think the outdoor market itself and fishing benefited from that. But it's a great thing that I was able to share with my students. And obviously we have a big outdoor community here, a rural school like United. So my wife makes fun of me because, you know, I call that coaching, and I guess you could call that work if you wanted to, but it's really just an excuse to be outside and fish with the kids and share a passion. So yeah, again, right place at the right time. And I was fortunate that Mr. Whitsitt allowed me to start that fishing club at the junior high, and then eventually bring it over and was supportive of us starting a high school team.
Yeah, I tell everybody, what do I always say? A bad day fishing beats a good day working.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's spoken like true fisherman. All right. So the other thing, you know, it's interesting when I cover like the FFA beat or the 4-H beat, and I like to follow like the development, the personal development of kids. So like in 4-H they're a clover bud, and then they proceed to a high level in the show ring, right? So we know that, and then it's the same thing like with FFA. You're a green hand, and then all of a sudden, you know, 4 years later, you're a section officer, or you're in the running to become a state officer. And it's like beyond your wildest dream when you start, where you think, I'm not going to reach that level. So I see, was it 2005 grad of Moline High School? So I like to talk about like the personal development in life. So I see your first teaching job was at La Harpe Junior High School in 2011. And I know, I think that junior high feeds into the Illini West Converged High School. So you're at a small, little bitty junior high school in West Central Illinois. That's where you get your start. And you fast forward to 2024, and you're the 37th Assistant Executive Director of the Illinois High School Association. So, but I say, the steps you must take along your career. So that meant something to you in 2011, getting that job. And it was a personal development phase for you. So that's where you got your start, right? So you have to get your start before you can get to where you're at today. Can you speak to, you know, the personal development and the professional development you have to have in life if you want to be successful? You're an example of that, right? So what about when you started, and it probably something like this today was beyond your wildest dreams back in 2011?
Yeah, I don't think I could have scripted a story that worked out quite like that. But, you know, everything, just like I said, being at the right place at the right time, I think things have come probably earlier than, I don't know if you want to say, than what they should have. But, you know, I was a very young head coach. I was a very young assistant principal. I was a very young principal. So I think having those experiences at a young age just prepared me to be in those leadership positions and have the confidence to lead people. And, you know, I think that played a huge part in just being prepared, you know, for this moment. You know, if I wasn't a head coach when I was a head coach, or if I wasn't an assistant principal at 26 or 27, whenever it happened, you know, I don't think this is able to happen because I wouldn't have had those experiences. But from a really young age and just within my career, you know, I really looked up to the administrators that I had when I was in high school. And I kind of followed, you know, their careers. And I always kind of knew early on that I wanted to be in leadership. Obviously, I wanted to teach. I wanted to coach. But I knew that was the end game, for me, at least at the time, that I wanted to be in a leadership position. And so early on, I enrolled at Western Illinois in their Ed Leadership program and just loved it. Fell in love with the curriculum, fell in love with the professors, and really the classmates too that I still keep in touch with, that are administrators with you know, throughout the area. Just so many talented people that I came across. And you learn things, you refine your skills, whether it's a presentation or a conversation or learning about this. And you know, Bill Maupin, who was the principal at Burlington Notre Dame, was the first one to give me a shot as an assistant principal. You know, and that was after 4 years of teaching. I mean, that's really early, but he saw something in me that I probably didn't see in myself. I probably, you know, had some experiences and a skill set that, you know, maybe a lot of individuals at my age wouldn't have had. But again, it's all about those people just taking chances on you. And I'm forever grateful for that, because that allowed me to go on a trajectory that led to this moment. And it's unbelievable. I've been unbelievably blessed. Don't necessarily, you know, deserve it. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's worked out, and I've tried to work as hard as I can and take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of me.
So we can wind up this way. So, you know, membership derived organization, and it, you know, people can be critical of whatever they want. And I always tell people, you know, even when I first started in this job some 30 plus years ago, you know, certain things that, you know, I wouldn't like about certain things about the IHSA and say, oh, typical, they're doing this. But then as you go along in your career and you learn about the process, it's a membership-derived organization. So if you don't like something, you can author a bylaw and let the membership have their say. That's what it's about. And I always, you know, when people complain about something at whatever school it is, I say, well, author the bylaw and let's see if, you know, the rest of the organization supports it or doesn't support it. And I guess the fair comparison then is when you're an administrator, you know, you have to work with the school board. So can you draw the comparison between the two, where, you know, you're as an administrator, you work with the school board, and as an IHSA administrator, you know, there's a board you're working with at the behest of, you know, 800 some odd membership schools.
Yeah, I mean, I think the word that comes to mind is complex. You know, what may appear to be an easy decision to some, as far as an outside perspective, there's just so much that goes into decisions that are made. And I think complexity is a good term for that. There's a lot of factors. And, you know, to be quite honest, teamwork is a big part of that. When you're working with a board, when you're working with member schools, teamwork, communication, Those are the important things that are going to make an organization successful. That teamwork, that trust that is built, and you know, I'm excited to get to know the board members at the IHSA. Talking with the administrative team, it's always been an extremely supportive group, and I think that's important, and that's where that trust is built. But there's complex decisions that are made, no doubt. And sometimes, you know, there's a decision that you're going to make, and there's going to be a side that's in favor, and there's going to be a side that isn't. And I think that, like you said earlier too, one of the misconceptions you know, it's a very democratic process, and that's something that I really like about this organization, like about the IHSA, is that, you know, you have member schools that vote, and you have member schools that ultimately, drive the decisions that are being made. And I think that's extremely important. You know, it's not, just a board, or it's not just Mr. Anderson, or not just the admin team that's making the decision. It's a really democratic process where you are letting the schools decide in the state of Illinois how things are run, and again, you know, the bylaws and things that are ultimately changed.
And then the only other thing I was going to bring up that I think is great about you is, you know, we always talk about, you know, what lens are you able to kind of look through? And I think of here's a kid that grew up in the Metro Quad Cities, basically an urban school. I think Moline's, like, high school enrollment was between 1,500 and 2,000, whatever it is. And then, you know, you worked at a La Harpe and you worked at a United School District. I think it's important to have perspective from both, because the diversity of the membership and just the geography of the state is pretty important. How much do you think that'll help you?
I think it'll help me have, you know, a number of different conversations and connect with people. Again, for me, it's all about forming relationships. I think my blend of experiences is going to help me with that. And like you said, I feel like I can relate to someone that's at a rural school, but also at a Western Big Six school. And I have familiarity with Chicago suburbs as well, because convincing my wife, who's from Crystal Lake, Illinois, to, you know, marry me and move down here to Monmouth, Illinois is probably my greatest accomplishment. So just even getting to know my in-laws in that neck of the woods and become familiar with the schools that are up in that area, I feel like, you know, again, it goes back to that diverse experience and skill set, and I think that's going to help me no matter what my responsibilities are. I feel confident that I can have a conversation and build relationships with a number of different people throughout the state, no matter what the sport is, or if it's officials or coaches, administrators. I feel like I have all those experiences to be able to connect and empathize and really gain insightful feedback from those people.
All right. Well, we congratulate Chris Schwarz, currently the high school principal at United. He will become just the 37th in the history of the IHSA to serve as an assistant IHSA executive director. Congratulations, sir, and good luck to you with your new job.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate everything you do. Back to coaching days when I was at Monmouth Roseville, and you do a top-notch job for area athletes and rural West Central Illinois. You do an amazing job, so thank you very much for this opportunity.
We'll look forward to working with Chris Schwarz in his capacity with the IHSA. More coming up on WRMJ, WRMJ.com.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. We call this segment Speaking with Old Friends. Scott versus Strait. We go way back. He's involved with the 5th annual QC Custom Tees shootout. They've had to modify the schedule a little bit. A kid that played on a state tournament team for the Moline Maroons, I think back in the late 70s, early 80s, somewhere around there. You love the sport of basketball still, right?
I do love the sport of basketball. I like to call myself a KG veteran, by the way, Jimmy, so I want to correct you on that a little bit. Yeah, this is a good thing going on here in the QCTs, Custom Tees here in Moline.
Well, and I think the one thing that we like about it specifically from
you know, the WRMJ audience standpoint is you make it basically across the classes where you've added small schools, for us specifically, you know, Rock Ridge and Sherrard, then teams like Macomb and Riverdale. So this is really a great opportunity to showcase Illinois basketball. So you bring in the local schools, but then you bring in other schools outside of the area. So what about just kind of the makeup of this thing?
That's what makes it really fun. This is the second year I've been the tournament manager for it. And you really kind of have two tiers. I don't want to say it's right across the classes, you know, but if you were going to say that, it'd be like, you know, you've got class 1A and 2A and 1N and 3A and 4A and the other end. But you've certainly got teams that can play against anybody. But what makes it great is you pair the teams up. You're not trying to develop things to where somebody's going to have an advantage or anything like that. You just want to have the best games that you can have. And I'll give Coach Sean Taylor Moline a lot of credit for it, because he wants the best games, and he does not want a shootout, you know, just for the schedule. He wants the best people to come in and play against him.
And that's great. And I know we were talking about him today on the open of our WRMJ Sports Line, you know, circling back to when he was at Macomb in the Olympic Conference and kind of what has been set up. Now, today you had to basically postpone today's game because of the blizzard impacting basically kind of the northern third of Illinois. I was really looking forward to the two matchups today, Leo and Rock Ridge, and then Sherrard and Beecher. Now, with the alteration, I see Sherrard's still going to play Beecher. Beecher's yet to lose. We've seen them a couple times at the Warkins Memorial Classic Quality Ball Club. And then Rock Ridge is going to get paired up with Batavia. But then you throw in here, you know, the fact you get to play at Old Wharton, you know, the venerable
right.
stadium. I can't imagine it's too hard to say, hey, do you want to come and play a shootout at Wharton Fieldhouse? I mean, it's nice to have that as kind of a tool to use, right?
That is our advertisement. There's no doubt about it. And I'll go to the prelim game where people might not, you know, it might not draw a lot of attention. And that is Almond and Quad City Christian. And the reason I mention that is because last year Quad City Christian came into Wharton Fieldhouse and they brought a wonderful crowd with them.
Oh, yeah, great.
And it almost felt like they were playing at Wharton Fieldhouse. And it was almost like their state tourney. And when they'd score a basket, they were down by 10, 15 points. The place would go crazy. So Wharton Fieldhouse, the historic brick house, is definitely the draw. And so we want to go around the state advertising that. We want to get out of the state as well, advertising as well. This thing is growing, and it's going to just continue to grow.
I'm just curious, you know, how much did you enjoy, and that was a long time ago, as you said, KG veteran, how much did you enjoy playing at that place? And did you understand, you know, when you were a kid, how big of a deal it was, and you didn't take it for granted because you were there all the time and your dad was the coach, if you know what I mean? Did you really understand at that time what a great place it was?
As a player, you appreciate it because it's such a great place to practice and to hang out, but you don't understand the depth of it. I did a little bit because there's a lot of history in the building, and my dad's name was all over the place, and I was playing for him, so it felt kind of special that way. Almost felt like family. But as you get older, it becomes more and more important to it. You realize it even more, and our admins, our alumni come back, and they want Wharton taken care of, and they want Moline basketball taken care of, and a lot of it is just because of Wharton Fieldhouse. I do a lot of traveling now, and I watch a lot of games everywhere, and I just love that fieldhouse atmosphere that you find in a lot of places. You know, not just the building of Wharton, but the style of Wharton, and you see that in other places in the state, and to me, that is the best basketball way to play.
Yeah, there's just something about the sound of the ball hitting that wood floor in that building. I don't know what it is, but it's pure poetry when you're there. I know that. I mean, it just is. So I love the fact, I know we go
we go way back. You coached at Orion. I don't remember. Was Coach Taylor at Macomb?
He was. I didn't want to bring that up. He was not fun to play against. He had some good teams down there in Macomb, really good teams down there. We had some good battles, and he had a lot of respect for us at Orion at that time because our kids played hard.
Well, and my son was telling me we did the Rock Ridge Moline game this year, and one of the first things that Sean Taylor said in his pregame interview, he said the best Class A basketball, he was referencing the two-class system, of course, the best Class A basketball conference of all time at the beginning of his interview, he said the Olympic Conference. So
no doubt.
He says how that prepared him with, when we were talking about the Olympic Conference with the eight teams when Knoxville and Farmington were also in the field. So I think it's great that he represents that too. I was going to ask you the other thing. Let me
chime in on that ahead. One thing. That was a time to where people in the Quad City area here, the Molines and the Rock Islands, did not have a ton of exposure to what was happening outside the area. And I went from the Big Six out to the Olympic, and even me was saying, holy cow, the basketball is so much better out here than people realize. So that's part of why we love the setup of our tournament, because there's a lot of people in Moline that want to watch good basketball that's happening outside the area.
All right, so the Scott versus Strait, I see, that officiates basketball games. Is that the same person as you? I love the fact that you officiate. What about, you know, taking on that occupation?
I think that's my evil twin. one of the best stories I had is I did a summer league game this year, and I had my referee shirt on. I had to stop and get gas on the way. And I'm at the pump, and I look over, and I think this lady was 90 years old. And the look that she had looking at me, and I said, you know, I don't like me sometimes, too. I like it because it's part of the game, and I love the physicality. I love running. I think I'm in good shape. I love the competition. So I do that just to stay connected a little bit.
How many games you do a year about?
Oh, I don't know. Whenever they call, I just go. I don't have a crew that I work with. I do a couple games a week. As a referee, you know, you're kind of like a player too. You want to see a good matchup. You want to see a good ball game. You want people. I've got Rock Ridge twice next week, and I'm pumped about that. Because as an official then, you want to make sure you're on top of your game. You do not want to officiate it. You want to challenge. And you don't want to make mistakes, that type of thing. You do not want to affect the game that way.
All right. So you feel, again, talking to Scotty Verstrait, promotes the Quad City Custom Tees shootout, we can refer to it as the Wharton Fieldhouse shootout too. Do you feel good about... You know, we look at the era when you grew up and you played in the 70s and 80s. And
well, I'll go to the 80s. You don't want to take me back that far.
I'll take you to the 70s, okay. But, you know, you just felt back then with kind of the demographic of the Quad Cities then, with what it was, with population base and enrollment base, you know, you just felt like, hey, these traditions are always going to be around. Now, do you, and this is just Scott Verstrait and Jim Taylor speaking here, we're not representing anybody.
Nobody else is listening. Yeah, you
wait a minute, because people will say, I heard Verstrait on the airways and he said this, but do you feel good about, I don't know, like when we talk about conference affiliation, I'm not asking you to answer the question as it relates to Alleman. I don't know what decisions they have to make, but you know, Geneseo has been brought in Sterling.
Right.
In terms of the Big Six, do you kind of feel good that even though maybe the question mark will remain Alleman, that the Big Six is in a pretty good place?
I think they have challenges. There's no doubt about it. I have a lot of respect for Alleman, and they treated me over there well. It was certainly an interesting experience I had in the COVID year. And I don't think my Alleman friends will take me wrong on this. When I say this, Alleman is not a match for the Western Big Six when it comes to, you know, the basketballs and some of the other sports. They have some sports they compete very well in, and they're just as good. But they cannot at the level of population that they have. sustain themselves in the Western Big Six, but they don't have easy answers. There's not, you know, so many conferences have realigned from what we're used to seeing in the past that their options are not as good when it comes down to that. I know they've got to be exploring those. They were exploring them when I was there a little bit too. There was still that feeling that Almond's part of the Western Big Six in the tradition, and Almond has a great tradition in the Western Big Six. Oh, do they have some phenomenal periods of time? And they certainly can compete in some sports at the highest level right now. They cannot do it in basketball. They can't maintain it. So it's a tough spot for them to be in. But they need to be in another place. They really do. That would be my advice to my Almond friends.
Yeah, and I'm a graduate of the school. And in talking about, you know, the impact that Almond has had on the legacy of the league, the top female and male athlete, the awards named after Don Morris. I mean, that's how I end this conversation about, I'm so glad when Scott Verstraete came to Ori and I got to know him. And just because I grew up in the Quad Cities and my mom and dad were longtime season ticket holders at UT. And when I grew up around basketball in that era, I remember so vividly that era because Cliff Talley coached, Don Morris coached, Duncan Reed coached, Jerry Liggett coached, and Whitey Verstraete coached. And I remember when I first met Scott Verstraete, I'm like, well, your dad, right? He was a head coach at Moline, and you played on that state tournament team. And he's like, yeah, how do you know about that? I said, because I grew up around Western Big Six basketball as a youth. One of my favorite people in the business is Scott Verstraete.
You know, and not to divert from those are iconic figures, and what a fun time that was. And it was a different period of time. There weren't as many things for people to do. Some of that's even just around when cable came around. So basketball was the game in town. Everybody was there, and you wanted to see your friends. You wanted to see your community. You wanted to have common things to talk about. Get all, you know, there's no cell phone. That's what you were doing. So it was a great era to go through. But go back to Almond on that. You go into the 70s and the late 60s with Almond in basketball. They had some of the best teams that the Western Big Six has ever seen. They winning the Pontiac tournament, state tournaments. So Almond, that's the part of that a lot of us are having a lot of difficulty with Almond right now, because that is our heritage, and they helped make the Big Six what it is. And you don't want to see changes. I didn't want to see the Olympic Conference go away as an athletic director and a principal and a coach out there, but times change. And you just got to roll with it.
All right. Hey, buddy, great talking to you. And we'll see you at a gym somewhere across the state of Illinois. Be safe today.
You are the voice of Western Illinois. You know you are.
All right.
And the thing of it is, don't worry about the referees when you're out there on the making your comments and all that, you know.
That's
so
right.
The referees never make mistakes.
That's right. That's right. All right. Good to visit with Scott Verstraete. More coming up on WRMJ.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Before we talk about the subject at hand today that we're going to talk about, I was thinking, could you imagine if this snowstorm system that we are experiencing that started Friday, I know you're being impacted up in the northwestern portion of the state, we're being impacted
in the western portion of the state. Could you imagine if this happened in late November and there were potential high school football games going on at this time? When I talk to weather people, I'm always like, man, I dig like football games in the snow when I watch them on TV. But could you imagine if you had this type of stuff during a high school football game?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I cannot imagine having it coming down, having it stack up on the field and trying to play a game and trying to keep that field, you know, kind of, you know, shoveled off and cleaned off so you could play. Yeah, it would be nearly impossible to play a football game, I would think.
Yeah, well, that's something we don't have to worry about because we're in early January. All right, one of the things, Brian Roush, I saw during the IHSA board meeting minutes in December, prior to Christmas break, it was like under other business category. The board discussed subsectional seating in girls volleyball and state series seating in general in all IHSA sports, and basically how subsectionals work. You're basically kind of just seeding two regionals, and the top four seeds basically get divided among the two regional sites within the subsectional. So I don't know if the push is to look at kind of seeding the whole sectional complex and potentially looking at maybe just the higher seeds hosting the preliminary round games until you get to the basically sectional semifinals, and then there's a host for that. I don't know. What do you think about the current subsectional seeding format as it relates to the four-class team sports, like, you know, girls and boys basketball, we're familiar with that, and then, you know, girls volleyball, of course, they're kind of leading the charge, and then baseball and softball operate under that subsectional seeding as well.
Well, I think maybe one of the pushes might have come from this area a little bit, because I know there's been concern over the past couple of years where you have, you know, four regional sites and you have the subsectionals and you have quite a bit of distance in there, and you have teams maybe driving past a regional site or two to get to their regional site, and then also, you know, protecting the seeds. And, you know, if you have more than four really quality teams in there, you might get some of the best teams stacked up in one regional due to travel, you know, thoughts there. And really it can be kind of, you know, frustrating. And I wonder if maybe some of the coaches were like, you know, saying, hey, we need to address this.
And then as far as, you know, two competitive balance, I do like looking at a seeding of an entire sectional complex, because it doesn't happen every year. I get that. But I think you want the best matchups along the tournament trail. At least I do. And, you know, I don't think, we were talking off the air, they're always going to argue travel. And my response will always be the same. Well, travel only impacts the winners. Because if you lose, right, travel doesn't matter because you've been eliminated from postseason contention. And winning schools, you know, they're not concerned as travel as they proceed along the tournament trail and gain the experience. And there continues to be the push, right, Brian, for 1 through 32 for football and 1A through 6A. And I think that's eventually coming. And I think it's fair to really look at seeding a sectional complex. And to me, the easiest way to do it, the higher seeds play at home until they get to the sectional semifinals. That way, you're also rewarding those schools and those teams that have had great regular seasons where you're playing these team sports we're talking about, you're playing 34, 35 games a year or whatever. You should be rewarded and get a host some games in the postseason. And I'd like to see it. It'll be interesting to see what the discussion point is moving forward with this subsectional seating.
Yes, and I think it could impact attendance in a positive way if you had a home team that participated in a series of matches. We've probably both seen situations in other sports where teams have hosted a girls or boys basketball regional, and because there's that play-in round, they may not even get a chance to play on their home floor and host one of those games on their own site. And you're looking at that saying, you know, hey, if you have a home team all throughout the regional round, you're probably going to have at least one side really well represented because they're at home. And if there's not, you know, lengthy travel for the other team, you look and you say, well, that's probably going to boost those numbers as far as attendance, and that's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it started from the sport of volleyball. That's where this board item came from. But then they continued by saying, looking at state series seeding in general in all IHSA sports, and you know, we talk about volleyball, four-class sports, and you would look at boys and girls basketball, and, of course, baseball and softball as well. So this is something we'll follow as the school year progresses. He's Brian Rouge at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline. Keep fit for less with Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run. A true runner can always find a clear path to run, and now you can run with the comfort and style of Hey Dude Shoes. Now buy one, get one at 25% off from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude Shoes are known for their breathable design that keeps your feet dry all day. Make Hey Dude part of your fitness routine and save by visiting 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, winding down Sportsline. Hey, dude, that's Terry James doing that spot for 6140
Zero. 6140
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And I saw Terry James. I think he tried to drive over here today, but he made a wise
not
decision.
Not gonna make
to
it.
Turn. Not gonna do it. Not gonna
good,
do it.
Good choice, Terry.
All right, so Sportsline winding down on the 13th of January. Do you want me to give play-by-play to our listening audience of what's going on in downtown Aledo right now?
You can probably they probably can guess themselves, quite
There's
frankly.
There's earth-moving equipment going gaga in downtown Aledo.
Going in reverse well, down the middle of the road.
That's the one thing that I've been hearing in my sleep, the beep-beep of reserve heavy, the beep-beep of going in reverse with heavy equipment, because I've heard a lot of that over the past couple of days in downtown Aledo. All right. Well, that was an interesting move some guy just made driving in downtown Aledo through kind of a snowplowing power to the people.
Crushed it, yeah.
All right, what else before we wrap up? Anything else?
Well, I have our full schedule next week, or this coming week, I guess I should say. We have doubleheader Monday in boys basketball from the Quad City Custom Tee Shootout Rock, or I should say Sherrard against Beecher at, what time is that game? At 3, and then at 4:30 it is Rock Ridge taking on Batavia Tuesday night boys basketball, Mercer County at home against Weathersfield. We had on the sports broadcast schedule LTC tournament girls ? Crossed out now. And then Friday night boys basketball, Sherrard at Mercer County in boys basketball, or I should say at Monmouth Roseville in boys basketball. Sorry, Sherrard at Monmouth Roseville on Friday night. And then sports sign back here a week from today at 9.
All right.
And Illini basketball tomorrow.
Yeah, they play
Maryland.
That game's down at State Farm Center. Okay, and then Beecher, who, so that's a big game for Schwartz. Schwartz got two losses in boys basketball.
Correct.
All right, Byron
Both
and Rockridge.
Both the teams in the top 10.
And
they
Beecher's
play
ranked
another,
sixth? Is that what Beecher's ranked sixth?
I think sixth, yeah.
19-0?
19-0. They just beat Peoria Notre Dame last weekend.
And when are you going to find out about that secret game that's coming up?
I don't know. It's supposed to be next Saturday.
I thought you were just going to say who they're going to play.
No, I'm not going to say it. I want to let them.
Who are you going to get in trouble by Sherrard superintendent?
No,
Carl
I want.
Johnson,
but if
Alan
I want
Boucher,
I want them to have the chance to announce it themselves. That's a pretty big deal if it comes through. So that's I'm respectful journalist, as they say. I don't want to burn any bridges with Coach Johnson or anything like that. I'm sure he wouldn't care, but I want them to be able to announce that themselves, because it's pretty exciting if it ends up happening.
Everybody that works at this place, what's the address of our studios now?
I don't know.
Still remember 2104
yeah,
Southeast.
I have no idea. Something South College, I think.
So
I don't know what even.
You said respected journalist.
Right.
How many? There are eight of those in here. How many? You count them all? Me, you, Terry James, Kia.
John.
John Hoshite, of course. Who else? Talon, Wieskamp. Lily. What's Lily's last name?
Clayton.
Lily Clayton.
Colin Melgren. We haven't seen him in a while. We miss Colin. I saw him at a game, girls
they
game.
They said, how's Colin Melgren making money now? He's shoveling stuff.
Yeah. And then I just got a text from my uncle, Pat Lower, who's an official. He always, when he does games, sometimes will ask me if who's like what the teams are like, and he just texts me what his expectations should be for A-Town and Mercer County on Thursday night. He's doing that game over in Abingdon.
I think it's a trap game.
I think A-Town's playing better.
Didn't A-Town last year kind of get off to a good start against them when the game was put?
Yeah, they played here, but they were like, remember they got off like a 0-17 start and then won a bunch of games late in the season.
Is that game?
It's in Abingdon.
It's in Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
All right. Repeat the games. So the games we got Monday.
Doubleheader Monday, Sherrard and Beecher, and then it's Rock Ridge and Batavia. Tuesday, Mercer County, Weathersfield Boys. Friday, Sherrard, Monmouth, Roseville Boys.
All right. Well, I think we covered it all. We had an opening monologue on the LTC.
Maybe Thursday. We might pick up Mercer County, A-Town, and Boys Thursday. I forgot that was the date that had been rescheduled. We might do that. We'll see.
All right. You want to do a closing monologue on the modified LTC?
No, I've said my piece on that. I'm waiting to hear from anybody who likes that format. Might be waiting for a while.
That's right. All right. Well, for Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor saying good morning, everyone, from downtown Aledo.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes. Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots. Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.